am tied to a podium. It's not my favorite way to talk, but I'll see if I can manage. I've got quite a challenge here to talk about 3 years of testing in 12 minutes, and we're up to, I think we had somewhere over 30 fields this year, which I'm not going to talk too much about those since some of them haven't even harvested yet. But I've had some great co-workers and co-authors on this talk, and that's really have contributed a lot in moving this project forward. I'm going to start with just a little bit of overview and the question of why sensors. You know, probably most of you have thought about that since you're sitting here in a sensor session, but I'm going to kind of try to say that one of the ways that I look at this is one of the driving factors in where this is going to go is probably going to be water quality. That's my assessment and that's my guess. I've highlighted in red a few areas where we have water quality issues that are known to be related to nitrogen. So just know that as we go into this, that's one of my thoughts on this topic. The field scale is a whole different way of looking at it. And so I think at the field scale, what will the sensors do? One, they'll handle spatial variability. And two, they'll give you a diagnosis of where to put more and where to put less. And I think this can be important just in identifying fields that have more need compared to fields that have less, but also that within field variability, diagnosing accurately what's needed there. Now, this is a fairly limited amount of data, but based on data sets that I've been involved with, including some multi-state data sets, color has just stood out as being the thing that is more related to how much nitrogen is needed than anything else we've tried to look at. There's the disadvantage that you've got to wait until in season to see what the color is. That's not really very convenient, but it's why we've put a lot of effort into it. I'm going to take you back. This calibration is from data that we took quite a few years back. John Laurie and I were out there pushing a cart with a crop scan passive radiometer through the fields and collecting data on the go as we pushed that cart through the fields. And we had 8 calibration sites, and Robert mentioned earlier, what if you have nitrogen pre-plant? Well, we had 0 or 100 at 6 of these sites, and the 2 more that were manured, we just had 0. So 6 of these data points on here had 100 pounds pre-plant. And we came up with the calibration. What we found was that pretty much all visible wavelengths, all visible to near-infrared ratios that we looked at, that this instrument measured, gave good correlations to optimum side dress as long as they were expressed relative to the same measurement in high nitrogen plots. So we're with everybody else on that. You've got to have a reference area. I'll also point out, this equation, which is the equation for that yellow line, and it's kind of the foundation for what we've gone on and doing in terms of these demonstrations that I'll talk about. We do actually use that exact equation in the crop circle. We've switched, as everyone else pretty much has, to using active sensors, both Crop Circle and Green Seeker. And we've had a programmer that works with USD ARS who is excellent, who's made it possible for us to take the outputs from the sensors and use whatever equations we're trying in them and control a range of controllers or communicate with them. Both manufacturers, I believe I'm correct in saying, have now made our equations available in their instruments, and we thank them for that. So what have we done? And I'm going to show you a range of situations, pictures of places where we worked. I'm going to start off with this one where it was a producer anhydrous rig, and the sensors are mounted on a temporary boom that we built for the front of that, and they're fed into a computer in the cab where that equation is applied, a nitrogen rate is calculated, goes to, in this case, a Raven controller, which then runs a ball valve on the back. So when that sensor sees light green corn, the ball valve opens up and a high rate is put out. When it sees dark green corn, the ball valve closes down some and a lower rate is put out. So that's kind of the basis for how all of these have run with a variety of different control systems. We've done it with producer rigs, side dressing solution. We've done it with a retailer rig that was a toolbar that was set up for side dressing solution. This is the ARS spray coupe set up with drops and 3 lines plumbed along it, and it's a great system. And we've done quite a few demos out there with this one. This is a retailer piece of equipment that we did with a high clearance spinner. They were actually planning to do this with a new John Deere spinner. And one of the obstacles that we're going to run into this with this, that the John Deere spinner did not have any place to take a rate command in. In a lot of cases, the old map computer controllers ran into a mechanical controller. Now there's all these direct command and other things where the computer and the controller are in one box and there is no input. So that's going to be a complicating factor. The advent of the CAN bus technology and how things are going into that is going to be another challenge in terms of integrating this stuff into the future equipment that's going to be out there and in use by farmers. I really liked the spinner when we ran in it, and there was a guy in Kansas who consulted with Bill and I and a number of other people and came up with a system where they'd been burned several years in a row by getting a lot of rain in May and June, losing their nitrogen. And last year and this year, what they've done is they wait till they put on 60, 70 pounds pre, they wait till the corn's 2 feet tall, and they go out with the sensors, and last year they did 4,000 acres of corn in 7 days. So they really fly, they go over terraces, they get it done in a hurry, and that's one thing that the spinner can do. A big sprayer is another option, and it's a retailer piece of equipment. This is a producer high clearance injector, and keep that in mind because the first example I'll show you was done with this piece of equipment. So really, when you boil it down, there's only two benefits that the sensors can give you. One is that in places where the producer rate that they would have otherwise applied would not have been enough, the sensors may be able to identify that, take care of that, and get enough nitrogen on that area. That's one benefit, and then you'll get a yield bump. The other potential benefit is in places where the producer rate would have been more than the crop really needed to have the sensors identify that, cut it back, and not put on unneeded nitrogen. So the first example I'll show you will be one where we helped make sure enough nitrogen was applied. This was done with that high clearance injector. We went out into corn that was about head high on June 20th. It had 75 or 80 pounds of nitrogen pre-plant. And you can see up in the north part of that field that there's a lot of light blue strips alternating with vari-colored strips, which are dominantly red. The light blue strips are the producer rate, which is in the low 50s, which combined to make a total rate of about 130, which is a little on the conservative side, but not too much for Missouri. The red strips are where the sensors were controlling nitrogen rate, and you can see they were red as 91 to 100. We were primarily putting out the rate that we had set as the ceiling. That was set by agreement with the producer. We set the software to never go over 100 with that rig. We probably would have gone over 100 in a number of places. So in the northern part of that field, we have alternating strips comparing the producer rate to the sensors. In the southern part of the field, we mostly just ran sensor-based application with one strip right through there of the producer rate. And you'll notice we've got a lot of dark blue in here with red bordering either side of it. So that's the lowest rate we could have put out, 40, and the red is back up to 100. So there's a very dramatic change over a short distance there, and we'll talk a little bit about that. How did this come out? This picture was taken a month after that application, and even though some other people have had problems with things not showing up the same there as they are here, this looks the same to me in both places, and you can see some pretty dramatic striping in that field. And those stripes are 16 rows wide, which is the width of that applicator, and they line up so that the light stripes are the ones where the producer rate went out. And just last Tuesday, we went in and did a comparison on the yield map of four pairs. And on this particular pair, the producer rate resulted in a yield of 129. The sensor-based rate resulted in a rate of 149. That's a 20 bushel bump. The average of the four strips we've looked at so far, or four pairs of strips, is 19 bushel difference between the producer rate and the sensor rate. So the sensors identified that what the producer was doing there in that particular part of the field was not as much as the corn needed. And we have a success story. Now let's look down at the southern part of that field. And if you remember, this 115, that's where we put the lowest rate with the injector. With the 75 total and 40 with the injector, we had a total of about 115. And in these areas, which appear yellow in the photo, we had put 100 with the sensor, and it was capped at that rate. With 75 pre, it comes to 175 total. Now you'd almost think that nitrogen makes corn look yellow, looking at this picture, but I'm going to try to convince you that's not really what's going on. What we're really looking at here is the dramatic differences that can happen over short distances depending on hydrology. This is a start of a waterway here that continues down to the southern edge of the field. I've kind of cut that off, but it's yellow all the way down on both sides of that waterway, and a kind of a wet area here over along the western edge. So 115 was probably not sufficient here, but was close to sufficient, whereas 175 just a short distance away was well short of sufficient. Now, how do I know that nitrogen is the reason that corn is yellow? Well, let's take a look up here. Can anyone see in the middle of that yellow area a little green rectangle? That's the high nitrogen reference area that I put out. We put out 200 pounds in addition to the 175 pre that the producer had. Nitrogen made that corn green again. So the 175 was not enough in those wet, deficient areas. Another success story is when you avoid unneeded nitrogen application. In this field, on one side of that yellow line, there's 250 pounds of nitrogen pre. On the other, there isn't any. Can you tell me which side has the 250? That's right, it's the left side. But it's not real easy to see. What you can tell is that the corn that didn't have any was getting a pretty darn good supply from the soil. And the producer's normal rate here was 180. We put out 90 in this field and got a 224 bushel yield, which was equal to or slightly higher than the yield with the producer's higher rate. So we've had success stories both ways with identifying places where we needed more than what the producer was already doing, or where we could cut back to less than what the producer was already doing. I'm going to hit a couple other things that we've learned along the way, the kind of glitches you get into when you start going out in the field and trying to do things. Does anyone notice that that line there, things look pretty different on the two sides of the line? But the nitrogen rates here on the south side, this is a nitrogen rate map with variable rate except these three red strips, which is the producer rate. And it's pretty much the sensor decided on rates that are coded as red, yellow, and orange on the south side of that line. On the north side, it's coded mostly as dark and light blue. Why? Which are much lower rates. Why did it suddenly drop? Well, the answer was we got it going fairly late in the afternoon. We stopped for the evening right where that black line is, started again the next morning, and there was dew on those leaves. I've got a poster that I'll be at tomorrow, poster 1510, where we have quite a bit of data showing that water makes leaves look darker, and the sensor thinks that they have more nitrogen, and it cuts back the rate. And as they work their way north across that field and the dew burned off, the rates picked up again. We have found that it's difficult to get producers and retailers to put out good high nitrogen reference areas. Maybe if they've been embarrassed by what they did the previous year, they do a little better the next year. But it's something that is really an effort. It's outside of what they normally do. We had a retailer put together this year a spinner that he could pull behind a four-wheeler, and he'd put out some great reference areas for us. And that's a lot more nimble than going out there with field scale equipment. I think planes are a lot more nimble as well. Hand spinner in a truck, I'm perfectly happy with that. But, you know, just throw it in the back of a pickup with some bags of fertilizer and some flags. We did have a test this year where we applied perpendicular to the rows, had that geo-referenced, and every time the applicator drove across that reference area, it knew it was in there, it updated the reference value, and that could take care of things like dew and changing leaf moisture. We found that it was hard to achieve a 2x range in rates with solution, and there's a couple of new technologies and some old ones as well that may help with that. They're not out there on most rigs right now. What happened in terms of numbers? I felt we had 26 where we had good reference areas, we had good yield data, we had enough replications, and I averaged all those together, and our average savings was 28 pounds per acre. We did lose a bushel of yield. There were some places where we cut back and we should not have. I think that's going to be unavoidable in some cases. If you just look at yield and nitrogen, we came out $7 to $11 per acre ahead. But that does not count technology and management costs. It's hard to put numbers on those at this point, but when you think about that, it's not exciting people a lot to make that kind of money for that kind of investment of time and dollars. So let's look just very quickly again at the nitrogen savings, which I think, you know, that's where most of the economic benefit comes, but I think, remember I was talking about water quality. Isn't that where I started? And to me, that's kind of where we bring the circle around, that we were able to cut back 30 pounds without losing any nitrogen by cutting back primarily in smart places where we didn't need that nitrogen. NRCS in Missouri has agreed with us. They actually approached us on this and asked us to work with them in developing a practice. They'll now pay $60 up front for a 3-year commitment, and we have a number of people that are interested in trying that next year. I'm pretty much at the end of my time, so thank you very much. One time up front, and then you have a 3-year commitment to do it. So it's $20 per year, per acre, to do it for 3 years. And the 3 years is 3 corn years. So if you've got a corn bean rotation, it may be 5 years before you get your 3 corn years in.
Have you done any comparison to
the question was, were there any comparisons late in the season comparing dribbled to injected? We have not done that. We've done both, but we have not done them side by side. A lot of people have strong feelings that dribbled on top isn't going to do it, but my experience with it is, in general, it works just fine and the crop does get the nitrogen. Certainly, if a rain comes along, that helps, but I've also found that even sometimes when it's very dry for quite a while afterwards, the nitrogen still does get into the crop. What was the other question? Oh, the end rows. Well, in the field that I showed you the picture of, it was done with the injector, and the end rows, some of them look great and some look terrible, and I don't think it had anything to do with the injection. It was just whether there was enough total nitrogen and perhaps root development. That was the rate that the producer, average rate that the producers were using. We just went in, we asked them, what are you currently doing? If you were going to side dress this field, how much would you put on? That was their total nitrogen rate, including any pre plus any side dress. So we always had a side-by-side comparison of their rate with the sensors.
But it was just whatever they felt was right for the farm.
Right.
And how did that compare with state recommendations?
It was probably, on average, pretty darn close. I didn't do it for this data set, but I've done it for other large data sets in Missouri in the past. And on average, what they do and what we recommend come out together, but there's a lot of personality driving it, too. And so there's some producers who are well above and some who are well below. Well, we distinguish V6, V7 as one stage and V8 to at least V10 as another stage. I'm a little concerned about using that algorithm past it, but we have. We've done this not so much based on having really good calibrations at those different stages, although back with the crop scan work, we do have calibrations for the different stages, and we can see there's a substantial change in the slope from V6, V7 to V8, V10. The same amount of differential in the stress means a lot more at V6, V7 than it does at V8, V10. The stress tends to widen. The gap between the plants that have enough and don't have enough in appearance widens as the season progresses. And chlorophyll meter data showed the same thing in a different set of experiments. So we're kind of primarily going on those data sets from other data sources other than CropCircle and CropScan to say we need to interpret it less, more aggressively at the earlier stages and less aggressively at the later stages, because we expect the color difference to be bigger for the same amount of stress.
There's no other questions. We're adjourned.